with time-dependent perturbation theory. So the first one, both of these are kind of classical problems that you can do easily. So the first one is to take a simple harmonic oscillator with Hamiltonian equal to p squared over 2m plus a half m omega squared x squared, so that its energy levels are given by En equals n plus a half h bar omega. And then we're told that in addition to this, there's going to be an interaction Hamiltonian, which is time dependent. So you can think of this as being due to some electric field, or really coming from anywhere, really. And we're just going to take this to be equal to a coupling, which I'll write as minus E, because I have in mind something like the electric charge. If this harmonic oscillator has got an electric charge and it's placed in an electric field, then its response will be proportional to E. But the basic point about E is that it's going to be small, and it is the thing that we're going to be perturbing in. A normalization constant to make life nice. X, e to the minus t squared over tau squared. So tau is a time scale telling you on what kind of time this perturbation dies away. E, you can think of as being a small constant. And the fact that it's proportional to x, you can think of as this big charge, and then x would correspond to having an electric field in the x direction. Or at least the potential due to it. And what we're going to suppose is that initially, in the dim and distant past, t goes to minus infinity, this simple harmonic oscillator is going to be in its ground state. And the question that I'm going to ask is, what is the probability that it is in some excited state? Let's do the first excited state. To order E squared, as t goes to plus infinity. So you have this initially the thing is in its ground state. You have this potential which rises up and then decays away to zero. And you ask whether or not the effect of that is such as to excite this simple harmonic oscillator. So it's the kind of thing that you do in atomic physics or whatever all the time. And the real question is, how do you actually calculate this thing? Well, it's the effect of an electric field. I mean, if I had a particle of charge E, electric field E big E. Let's call this charge Q, big E. Then the potential is going to be, potential energy for this will be minus E Q X. That's what I mean. So how do we calculate this? Well, so given this is our first attempt, we will do this in a sort of rather pedestrian way. At t equals minus infinity, then you're in the state 0, the ground state. You want to know what the amplitude is for ending up in the state 1. I really shouldn't write t equals in minus infinity and t equals plus infinity, but you know what I mean. So what you would do is to take the state 0 at t equals minus infinity. You would act with the time evolution operator on it. From minus infinity to plus infinity, and then you would calculate this matrix element. And the way I've written that, that would be in the Schrödinger picture. But that is the same thing as U0 of infinity minus infinity times U interaction of infinity minus infinity, 0, t equals minus infinity. Now let's contemplate this object U0 first of all. This thing is just going to be the time evolution operator using the free Hamiltonian, just p squared over 2m plus a half m omega squared x squared, but is going to act on this eigenstate. Because it acts on this eigenstate, all you're going to do is you're going to get well, let's just write it out. 1, t equals infinity. U0 is e to the minus I Hamiltonian time interval. So it's t final minus t initial over h bar. And then there'll be a u of infinity minus infinity, 0. H, when it acts on the first excited state, is just going to give me a 3 halves h bar omega. So this whole thing can come out of the integral and will just give you a phase factor. Admittedly, this thing is infinite, but it doesn't really matter. It's still a phase factor. It's a phase factor because this thing is an eigenstate of energy, and this is the free Hamiltonian, and I should have put a zero on here because this is U0. It's a stationary state, so it just comes out. Naught. So it just gives you a phase factor. And phase factors are irrelevant to calculating probabilities. You have to get used to people discarding infinite phase factors. Yes?
Finding the time interval T final minus T infinity, infinity minus minus infinity, because we are using.
That will be infinity, that will be minus.
Which is infinity.
Infinity. So
I don't care, it's just the infinite phase factor. The phase is infinite, but it's still got modulus 1. Yes?
I don't know if this is the way you think about it, but if you want, we can think about it as you have that expression, you can put in finite values of tf, ti, and then when you take the limit, the entire expression is the t going to infinity, right. So the entire expression doesn't change.
Okay, you can do it by limiting procedure, there's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to get used to the idea that I can discard phase factors, even if they are in an
infinite phase. So, what do I need to do? I now need to calculate just the following object. 1, t equals infinity, u interaction from minus infinity to plus infinity, 0. Well, if I'm working this in the Schrödinger picture, of course, it doesn't matter what this thing is. I can just work out what this is. What is U interaction? Well, we spent some time deriving what U interaction was. It is 1 minus I over H bar integral from the initial state to the final, the time of the initial state, the time of the final state, V interaction of T dt. Plus higher order stuff that I don't care about. Now, if I substitute this into here, 0, unit operator 1, isn't going to give me anything at all, because these two things are orthogonal. So the only surviving piece is the following object. One minus I over H bar, the integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of V interaction of T dt, 0. What is that going to be? Well, this is a little deceptive because you might think this doesn't really depend on time very much. This is the same as minus I over H bar, state 1, integral from minus infinity to plus infinity. And then this object you want to think of as being U0 dagger. And it's going to be T minus infinity, V in the Schrödinger picture, which is a function of T. U0 of t minus infinity, integrated over time. So you can see that there is some interesting time dependence in here, because U0, we can substitute in, this thing is going to be e to the minus I Hamiltonian, t minus minus infinity, I'll just write like that. V of t, we have erased, but we said that it was equal to minus ex over root pi times a tau, e to the minus t squared over tau squared. Then we have a u dagger. This is e to the I h 0, t plus infinity over h bar. This should have had a zero on it. You might be tempted to take this expression through the x and cancel it with this one. This is a terrible idea because a Hamiltonian does not commute with x. So you can't just cancel this thing and this thing. You're going to have to think a bit harder. Had it been the case that the Hamiltonian commuted with the interaction, then actually you'd be certain nothing ever happened. Because you could choose simultaneous eigenstates of H0 and V, and once you started off in an eigenstate, you stay in an eigenstate. So the fact that anything interesting happens is because this isn't true, exemplified by this, and so you cannot make this thing cancel that thing. Well, having said that, let's think a bit more about this amplitude. It's equal to minus I over h bar times something. When this h0 acts on this 1, you can replace it by 3 halves h bar omega. That's kind of obvious. So you will end up with the integral from minus infinity to plus infinity, e to the 3 halves I omega of t plus infinity. So it's acting to the left on this state, so you can just replace it by its energy. Then there will be a minus ex over root pi tau, and e to the minus t squared over tau squared. And then there will be this factor here. H0, you can make act to the right on this eigenstate 0, and you'll just get a half h bar omega. So where has that taken us? It's true. Sorry? Shouldn't h bar go away? Yes. Thank you. It should be an I. Now, what do you do with these things? It's true that this is a phase factor and that is a phase factor, but they are time dependent, meaning depending on t, the thing that you're integrating over. This one here is a constant. So you can get rid of that one, and that one, that's just an overall phase factor, but you can't get rid of the other ones.
But shouldn't it commute now with the term in the middle?
Yeah, everything now commutes except for this x.
Everything here, now we take it out of part of x, which is still an operator. The original is now setting minus
I over h bar, 1x0, and then an integral from minus infinity to plus infinity, e to the minus t squared over tau squared, plus I omega t. And then there's some number, which is what? Minus e over root pi tau. So, next step, we need to do this integral. This is a standard integral that we have done many times. If you don't remember what it is, let's repeat what it is. The integral from minus infinity to plus infinity of e to the minus ax squared plus I dx, you do by completing the square. That looks right. Then you've added in that term squared, which you don't want. It comes with 1, 2, 3, 4 minus signs. So there's an e to the minus b squared over 4a. And then you do this integral, and it gives you root pi over a, e to the minus b squared over 4a. And that's all fine as long as the imaginary part, so as long as the real part of a is greater than or equal to 0. So you're going to end up with root pi times a tau, e to the minus, 1, 2, 3,
right, omega squared over 4, right, omega squared times squared over 4.
And then there's this thing, which is a minus e over root pi tau. So you can see that I chose these factors to cancel. So I'm left with I e over h bar. E to the minus omega squared tau squared over 4 for the matrix element of 1x0. So we need to evaluate that matrix element. The easiest way to do that is to remember what the position operator is for a simple harmonic oscillator. Oops. X is equal to h bar over, I'll get my numbers right, 2m omega to the half into a plus a dagger. So if a acts on 0, I get absolutely nothing. If a dagger acts on 0, I get 1. So 1x0 is h bar over 2m omega, the 1 half, 1a plus a dagger acting on 0, which is nothing, and a 1. So I end up with that. So the total amplitude is I e over h bar. H bar over 2m omega to the 1 half e to the minus omega squared tau squared over 4. So the probability is just the square modulus of this. E squared over h squared and an h, so it's over h. E to the minus omega squared tau squared over 2. You can now see immediately that if I had chosen to go to any other excited state, so the state n here, with n being 2 or greater, I would get 0, because when I came to calculate this, I wouldn't get anything. So that is an example of how to do time-dependent perturbations. Yes?
So I guess the first question is, obviously, it seems like you should be able to kick a, like, if you have, like, something in that state and electric field, like a, you know, laser shooting at it.
Yeah.
If you choose the laser for a different amount of time, you should be able to kick it onto an excited state. So does this just tell you that probabilities for getting it up to, like, the second or third excited state are of order, I guess, quarter B?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what it's telling you.
Okay.
If we wanted to consider second excited state, would we have to then consider intermediate states and integrate over, well, in this case, there's...
Well, the answer is no, already. So if you consider second excited state, you've had a two periods in a one. This thing would be 5 halves. So this thing would be, if you have a 2 IMBT here, you end up with a 2 here. And so, to lowest order, you can get anything at all. Now, it is true that to next order, that is to say to order e to the fourth, you would get something. But I haven't told you how to solve that integral equation for the next order.
Not exactly what I meant. What I meant is, could we introduce it by finding the probability of it, by finding the object by 1x0? Multiplying it on the left by 2x1.
But if you did that, that would be higher order in the interaction.
Okay.
So you're asking me, can I do the, follow this procedure and calculate what happens to the next highest order in E?
Sorry, I didn't realize that's...
That's the nature of the question, and the answer is yes, I could, but no, I'm not going to.
Oh, I wasn't asking you.
You're giving the ideas of problem before we're going to be too hard.
I've got a question. The states 0 and 1 are the eigenstates of the new Hamiltonian?
No, of the unperturbed Hamiltonian. These are eigenstates of H0.
You're measuring the probability to arrive in a state which is not an eigenstate of your friend.
Well, remember that our interaction is going to 0.
Okay.
As t goes past infinity. So, in the distant past and in the distant future, there is only an H0.
Okay.
So that's why you can do it.
One other question unrelated to my first question. The position operator for the simple harmonic oscillator, it's not changed by the interaction?
It's the position operator for H0. Now remember that what we did is we looked carefully at this formula.
We said that the states were going to be the states of H0. So when we looked at this expression, these were eigenstates of H0. And that's always true in these interaction picture type calculations. You use the states appropriate for H0 and put the interactions in by using the time evolution operator for in the interaction picture. So it's this thing UI. So it's a universal thing.
Does that
matter
how quickly the interaction
dies on infinity? Or is it only important that it goes to 0?
Neither is really true.
How is it determined here?
If you really want the system to settle down and not do anything else after you've finished, after you've encoded this information in the state, if you want the system to be absolutely stationary when you have finished, then yes, it's got to die off, and it's got to die off faster than E to the. Well, the integral that you get is just not the integral as a result of the trial. So, if this integral exists, then there really isn't a problem. So, Now we sort of have a little bit of confidence for what happens in that case. We can do a slightly different case where it does not tie on. So here's a slightly different version of the same kind of problem. Take a cubical box. Size as A. And you have a free particle of mass M. And initially it's in its ground state.
Are we meaning initially to be T at negative infinity or?
No, in this case.
Yes or no? Let's do the problem and see what we're going to do. So first of all, we need to just examine the eigenstates of this particle. We're going to find out, or determine, what is the probability of being in some excited state. Later on. But the thing to do is, of course, that you know you're going to do perturbation theory. So you have to start off by considering the eigenstates of H0. Which is just T squared over 2m. We all know how to do that problem. Let's suppose that the box runs from x, y, and z, naught to A. Then we all know that the wave function, psi, is described by three integers, j, k, l, and is equal to the square root of 8 over a cubed sine j pi x over a, sine k pi x over a, y sine L pi Z over A. And if you like, I can rewrite this as the state JKL. And the energy is going to be equal to H bar squared over 2MA squared pi squared into j squared plus k squared plus l squared. So the ground state is j equals k equals l equals 1. And the energy is equal to 3 h bar squared pi squared over 2 ma squared. So, let's suppose that this particle has charge E. Actually, E is confusing. Let's call it Q. And you have an electric field E in the x direction. And the magnitude of the electric field I think it's just going to be a constant, actually. So the potential is equal to QEx with a minus sign. And I'm going to turn this on at t equals 0 and ask, what is the probability that I end up with energy three h bar squared pi squared over m a squared at time t. So this is an example of something where you do not have an asymptotic region in the future where nothing is happening. You turn on the electric field and you wait and see what happens. Now, you might say that that looks like it's going to be a boring problem because you turn it on and that's it. But actually, it turns out to be rather more interesting than that. So let's do the calculation and see what you get. You start in the ground state. So this is 1, 1, 1. And we have learned that really all you need to do is to take the matrix element of UI with this thing. And you want to calculate this. Because this thing only depends on x and not y or z, the only way the state can change is by changing j. It can't change k or l, because what happens in the y and z directions is completely independent. And you'll notice that we want to end up with a 3 here. So the only way to do that is j equals 2, k equals 1, l equals 1. You really have to figure that out first, otherwise you'll go about calculating lots of matrix elements that you don't want. Well, now we've done this once, it's really not that hard to do it again. So this is equal to 2, 1, 1 into 1 minus I over h bar integral V interaction of t dt, 1, 1, 1. But here, what is the integral going to be from? The interaction takes place over the interval naught, and we're told to figure out what happens at time t, so we want to integrate from naught to t. So we better not call this variable t, we better call it t prime. And that's all we have to calculate. Well, I say all, it's not that easy. So we have a minus I over h bar, the state 2, 1, 1. The integral from naught to t of V interaction t prime. This is e to the minus e to the plus I free Hamiltonian t prime over h bar V as a function of t in the Schrodinger picture, e to the minus I Hamiltonian t prime over h bar, dt prime, 1, 1, 1. What is Vs of t? It's just qex. Be a t prime. Absolutely right. So let's just do the calculation. Vs is minus qex, so there's an iqe over h bar, 2, 1, 1, integral naught to t. We have e to the ih0 t prime over h bar. It's acting on this state 2, 1, 1. So you're going to get e to the I energy of the state 2, 1, 1 t prime over h bar. The only surviving bit of Vs is just the x. Then you've got this thing. It acts to the right on the state 1, 1, 1. So I get the energy of the state 1, 1, 1. Because these are the eigenstates of H0, and therefore, when H0 acts on them, you just get their energy. So what do you end up with? As far as the time dependence is concerned, you see, it's very simple. You just get this is encapsulated in the integral 0 to t dt prime e to the I change in energy between the two states that you're looking at t prime over h bar. If you think about it, this factor is absolutely universal in all these kinds of calculations, because these are the free Hamiltonians. They either act to the right on an eigenstate of the Hamiltonian H0 or to the left, and they'll produce the energy of the initial and the final states. So it is absolutely universal that you get something that looks like that. But then you've got to do this integral. It's not hard. E to the I delta E H t prime over h bar divided by I delta E as an h bar integrated between 0 and t. So you're going to end up with h bar over I delta E, e to the I delta E t prime over h bar minus 1. You might have thought that because our perturbation didn't depend much on time, it just got turned on at some time, that you wouldn't get any non-trivial time dependence. You do get interesting time dependence, even though the potential is not doing very much. So, what's happened here? We can replace this by, let's see, can I get rid of everything apart from that line? I will end up with I Q E over H bar. An I.
Oh.
Sorry. H bar over I delta energy. I've just realized I've got an electric field and energies with the same letters. Too bad. E to the I delta E T over H bar minus 1. And then we're left with a spatial matrix element to calculate 2, 1, 1, X, 1, 1, 1. A minus sign. Where have I lost a minus sign? I think it got cancelled against something. An overall minus sign in the amplitude doesn't matter too much. That is, of course, no reason not to get it right. But I think it disappeared. Well, actually, if I look at my notes, he seems to be right. So the question is, where did it disappear? I think that actually he's right.
You move the I from the denominator to the numerator. Is it
No. What happened is that you had a minus sign and you had the V naught, and then you changed it for minus QE X, and you didn't cancel those two minus signs when you wrote on the board.
Oh, fine. Right.
So you're fine there. There's a plus.
Yeah, that's.
All right. Okay. I'll leave it. Why did you want me to I know what a problem I have. It's not wrong. It's just the other way around. I have my field going the other way. So that doesn't matter, that's fine. So we need to calculate this thing with this number and that. This matrix element is integral of psi star 211 x psi 111 x y and z. It would be equal to 8 over a cubed integral psi 2 pi x. A sine pi x over a x sine squared pi y
over a sine squared pi z over a dx dy dz. Does anybody want me to work that out explicitly, or can I just tell you what the answer is?
Please just.
All right. Let me see if I can figure out what it actually is from what I've got here. I seem to think that this is equal to minus 16a over 9 pi squared. The answer is highly plausible because it's got the correct dimensions. Namely the dimensions of length. This is effectively the matrix element of something with length. So I think I'd be inclined to believe this answer. Let's then look at this expression. This is equal to, well, fortunately, some H bars go away and some I's go away. We get Q times electric field over the change in energy. Let's write this thing as Re to the I omega t minus 1. And this thing is 16a over 9 pi squared. I have said that big omega is equal to delta E over h bar. So in actual fact, here I could have written an omega times h bar. So the amplitude for this is this thing. I want to write that as k over omega e to the I omega t minus 1. So k is just some constant. This is to avoid carrying constants like 16a over 9 pi squared qe over h bar. That's a q, not a 9. So that's the amplitude. Let's look at the probability then. It's the square modulus of this. So it's k squared over omega squared. E to the I omega t minus 1 times e to the minus I omega t minus 1, which is k squared over omega squared. A 1 from there, another 1 from there. So I get a 2 minus 2 cos omega t. And it's actually a bit nicer to rewrite this as k squared over omega squared. Put a 2 there. 1 minus cos of omega t is really cos squared half omega t plus sine squared half omega t. So the nicer way of writing this thing is just to say that it's equal to 4k squared sine squared squared half omega t over omega squared, which is a nicer way of writing it. So even though we have turned on a potential which is constant in time, we have discovered a probability that oscillates with a frequency of, well, like this. The probability oscillates with frequency a half omega. That, too, is a fairly universal feature of problems of this type. This if you like, you can say it's a half h bar times the change in energy is fairly universal. In this type of problem. What I'm trying to say there is that if you find factors of this type, you should not feel surprised. The other thing you want to notice about this thing is that it's bounded. It's positive, which is just as well for a probability, and it's bounded by whenever this thing is equal to 1, and that's also good. If you had found an answer that was not positive or was unbounded, you can be pretty sure that something has gone wrong. But in this particular case, you are at least a sort of sanity check on whether your answer makes the slightest bit of sense. You can see that the thing is positive and bounded. You'll also notice that if you picked your time exactly correctly, the probability of being in an excited state is 0, which is kind of useful if you want to actually experimentally study these kinds of things. Yes?
You're on the H bar.
Although it's one way up, yes. Okay, so I think that's all I wanted to do for today. Tomorrow we'll move on to scattering theory. Okay,
I think this is pretty good.
Oh, it's very good.